So we have some other folks in the audience. I'm looking straight at the auditor, Tim Keller. Hi. Thank you for joining us. You know, is capital outlay a system that you, as someone who likes to have things in the proper lines on a spreadsheet, think works real well right now?
Well, I have, I think, a relatively unique perspective, having served in the legislature and then coming over as auditor. And, you know, I think one thing is clear. The current system does not work well. You know, and I think all of us would agree to that to a large extent. And also that some reform is needed. And I would highlight maybe two additional issues for folks to think about. One is that, you know, the capital outlay that goes to the legislature is only one half the problem. So using round numbers, that's about $1 billion that's sort of held up by red tape and all these other issues. But there's another billion that actually goes solely to the executive branch, and these are dedicated revenues. And so these can be fixed without law changes. They can be fixed without any major changes to anything other than someone at the top saying, okay, we're going to make sure this money gets out the door. And that's why I think one thing that both the legislature and the executive branch could use is a single point of contact or a single office that actually watches this and says, okay, your project isn't working. Reallocate the money elsewhere. Right now, that's not happening, and that's actually the report that we did about unspent funds is really the only comprehensive listing of those dollars that's been done in the last 20 years.
So the work that the state auditor's office does in kind of going through the checkbooks of every school district and, you know, county, and all these bodies all over the state. Is that right? Did I just make up
that
some
is
stuff?
Right. Public bodies.
Public bodies. Of all these public bodies in the state. You know, this is something that people really, this is a thing that restores trust in government. When they say, oh, you found a problem, they fixed it. Or, hey, you didn't find any problems, and you contract with all these private accounting firms who do this work, you guys don't do it all. That really helps public confidence. Could more more accounting of where this money goes after the fact help people believe that it is going to the purpose they think it's going to? Because a lot of people, like Senator O'Neill said, think that because he signed off, yes, I believe in your community center project, that it happened, but it didn't.
Well, I'll give you a good example. It's easy to make fun of myself. So, you know, there's still $500,000 of capital outlay that I gave 6 years ago to my district that has not been spent. And it was for medians up and down Central. Now, that's not spent because the mayor wants to put in a rapid bus system. And debating that issue separately, the point is, regardless of which idea you like, those dollars remain unspent. So I think that example is in sharp contrast to the Paseo and I-25 interchange, where the same capital outlay rules applied, but our state was able to spend $78 million in 18 months and do a great job for the state of New Mexico. So I know we can do it. I mean, I really think there's a bit here about leadership and just stepping up and saying, here's how we should use these dollars, and let's all come together and do it.
I hear you dog whistling to me that you want Governor Martinez to... Am I hearing that? That you want Governor Martinez to single-handedly, because she does control this executive portion of it, make the change happen on her end.
Well, what I would say, and I learned this as a legislator, I think the governor and every legislator can take responsibility for appropriately dealing with this system. So what that means is the following. Eventually, I stopped partially funding projects. I started only funding projects that the recipient wanted, so like a school district or a city that we had agreed on. And if the governor and if legislators individually did that, a lot of the backlog would be cleared. The issue is that process usually doesn't happen. And it's hard. It takes a lot of time. And as I admitted, I had plenty of examples where that didn't happen. So there is an opportunity, though. Look, any governor, this is how Richardson funded the spaceport and other big projects.
Really popular things that people love now.
Again, regardless of whether or not you think they were good ideas. The point is, we can all control the money that goes to our individual coffers, and the biggest coffer in the state is under the control of the governor. So by, you know, creating a czar position or somebody to oversee capital outlay infrastructure spending, I think we could get through 80% of the problems.
Will you pass the microphone to Vicki Harrison next to you from Common Cause again? We're moving toward the end of this conversation. And, you know, we took a big pivot when we started talking about capital outlay as one of the issues. You know, I want to tell you that somebody said to me the other day that there is a perception, a public perception, that lobbyists can come to lawmakers and say, hey, you should put some capital outlay money toward this project. Oh, by the way, I'm coming to your thing tonight, and I'm going to be writing a big check. And that there is a connection there. And I say that there is a perception because it doesn't matter that it probably isn't true the vast majority of the time, right? Because people believe that that's what happened. They believe that all journalists are biased, right? They believe that politicians aren't upholding the public trust. Is capital outlay reform one thing that could improve the public's perception of its government, or are we just, you know, howling into the wind?
It absolutely could. And yes, I mean, capital outlay is wonky and about as unsexy as campaign finance. But it is something important, and it's something that I think we could restore that trust. I mean, when you're talking about the lobbyist, I mean, I've been a lobbyist for 2 decades, and I can assure you they're not doing everything I want them to do. But what the lobbyist relationship is, it's a relationship. It's about access. It's not about buying a vote. It's about having that access and being able to pick up the phone and call. And that perception, I mean, it's crazy. Last year when we polled the state, 19% of the state felt like their state legislators, not Congress, their state legislators were more responsive to them than lobbyists. 19%. And that's just simply not true. But capital outlay, this is such a huge issue. And I think, you know, the state, we our jaws dropped last year when the auditor came out and said, oh, by the way, we've got $1 billion sitting around that hasn't been spent. And that is so frustrating for people in the district because they're like, wait a minute. They're thinking about the things that their kids need, the things that their parents need that they aren't getting, yet we've got all this money sitting around. Clean it up.
I'm super bad at math, but $1 billion sounds to me like enough money to pay for some of the smaller projects that we're talking about. Is it possible, senators, that if we reformed the system through transparency, through individual changes and leadership and maybe a czar, through creating a commission that would centralize the whole process, is it possible that reform in some or all of these ways could actually leave you the money to do the things that you want to do in your districts?
I believe so. I think, you know, the solution lies somewhere in the middle. I think some of these larger projects, and maybe you create some dollar figure at that point beyond that, or if it's a return to the same project, it gets better, goes through the process. I think there needs to be something there for legislators individually to deal with, and I don't think it perhaps needs to be $1 million. But the needs are different in each, so that gets back to that issue. I appreciate what Auditor Keller is talking about, and you know, I think the idea of a czar or something may be okay, but the problem is you have 112 legislators and you have a governor. Governors come and go. Legislators come and go. And I think it's not quite enough to hope that all of us all the time are going to do the right thing and track it. I mean, you can, as a legislator, keep track of this stuff, but a lot of us probably don't. And I don't, you know, I like to think the best of all of us and all the time, but unfortunately, I don't think that's going to be quite enough. I think we're going to have to set something, some system, some matrix in place that will vet these things. And perhaps if there's a compromise, try to leave a little bit of latitude for individual legislators to deal with that playground equipment that's just falling down on some school or library blinds that they need to keep the sun out that nobody's going to, you know, if you don't do it, it ain't going to get done. So I think the solution perhaps lies somewhere in the middle.